What is up, my dudes? Welcome to the first episode of Olympia Oddities of 2024. I hope everyone had a wonderful and safe new year, however you decided to celebrate. I decided to actually leave my house and go out on the town for like the first time in years, honestly. And it was a really fun time. I'm sure that I'll cover that more in the next sideshow episode. It's pretty early morning. I've got my gigantic iced white chocolate mocha. And I'm ready to kick off this year with some true crime content. So today, I'm going to be discussing an unsolved disappearance from Brooklyn, Washington. Archer Ray Johnson disappeared under very mysterious circumstances after spending the day chopping firewood with his brother. His car was discovered abandoned, with the door open and the keys still in the ignition, with no trace anywhere of Archer. I'll get into the timeline of the day of Archer Johnson's disappearance, the resulting investigation, and clues to what may have happened to Archer, and discuss some theories surrounding the case. Let's get right into it. 49-year-old Archer Ray Johnson was living just outside of Oakville, Washington, in the community of Cedarville. He had gotten a small house with his wife and newborn daughter. The tiny house was nestled in the woods at 208 Langebeer Road, with the nearest connecting road being South Bank Road. To help make ends meet, Archer Johnson worked picking ferns, peeling bark, and working as a woodsman. On the morning of his disappearance, April 1st, 1986, Archer had left his house early that morning. He made a few stops in the town of Oakville, then headed over Oakville Hill to pick up his brother, who lived near Vesta off of Brooklyn Road. Together, Archer and his brother, Earl Johnson, headed to another location on Brooklyn Road to cut some wood. After the two brothers had finished cutting the wood and loading it up into Archer's truck, they traveled back to Earl's house. Once at the house, they unloaded a half cord of wood. While at Earl's house, Archer helped Earl's girlfriend, a woman named Rosa Buterick, feed some cows. After finishing up the chores, Archer asked Earl if he could borrow $50 from him. This was so he could pay off the tabs for his truck. Earl agreed to lend him the $50, but explained that first he would have to go to the bank and get it out for him. Archer left Earl's house and his truck that day around 11:40 a.m., planning on traveling back to Oakville via Brooklyn Road. 10 to 15 minutes later, Earl and Rosa headed towards Oakville, following the same route. The drive was normal as usual, until they spotted Archer's truck parked partially on a gravel logging road about 15 miles from their place. The truck's driver's side door was still open, and the keys were still in the ignition. There was also a can of beer in the front seat of the truck. However, there was no sign of Archer anywhere to be found. Initially, Earl and Rosa wondered if Archer might have pulled over to go look for more wood to cut, or to find a place to go pee in the woods. Both weren't out of the ordinary for Archer, with one friend of his being quoted in the Chinook Observer saying, "It was common for him to do this. It always worried people that he would fall down a hill or something, or get lost." Earl and Rosa called out to Archer a few times, but got no response. Rosa closed his truck door for him, and then the two continued on their journey into town. While the situation was a little odd, they weren't immediately concerned that something had happened to Archer. Earl and Rosa went along with the plan that they had set up with Archer, stopping by the bank and pulling out the $50 for his truck tabs. After getting gas, they drove to Archer's home and left the money for him in an envelope on his gate. The couple traveled around for the next few hours, going from Brady to Elma and McCleary, then back to Archer's place. That's when they noticed that the envelope containing the money was still on the gate. They took the envelope, and Earl dropped Rosa off along Garrod Creek Road, which is another road that connects with Brooklyn Road, just in case Archer was headed back to his place. They hoped that they could intercept him and get the money to him this way when he returned from Oakville from running errands or putting gas in his truck, like they assumed that he was likely probably doing. When there was still no sign of Archer, Earl picked Rosa back up. They began to drive towards Brooklyn, Washington, going over Oakville Hill. That's when they spotted Archer's truck in the same exact place that it had been haphazardly parked earlier. This was around 5:30 on the evening of the 1st, and they once again pulled over and called and yelled for Archer. With zero reply from Archer and a growing concern that he wouldn't be returning to the location of the truck, Earl and Rosa decided to move the truck back to Earl's house. Earl drove the truck back, and Rosa followed behind him in the car. That evening, Earl and Rosa spoke with Archer's wife, Patricia, when she returned home from work. And, after learning from her that she hadn't seen Archer either, he was officially reported missing at 7:15 p.m. The calls they had made to the Oakville Police Department were unsuccessful, so Grays Harbor Sheriff's Office took over as the lead investigators for Archer's case. Patricia searched for her husband up and down Brooklyn Road until around 11:45 that night. She awoke the next morning, April 2nd, ready to help with whatever search and rescue party efforts had been organized, but found that none had been put together. The 2nd is also the day that investigators arrived at the scene where Archer's truck had last been seen. While the initial search, including bloodhounds, didn't turn up many clues, investigators did find one piece of possible evidence, a bandana that had been found along the roadway. Investigators were unable to find any sign of struggle at the scene. The bloodhounds were able to briefly pick up Archer Johnson's scent, but only for a short time. Investigators believe that his scent had already been blown from the scene by the wind. During a follow-up search, again with bloodhounds, they were able to pick up his scent about a quarter of a mile away from the scene, which perplexed those investigating the case. Retired Detective Lane Humans, who worked on the case originally, and had the responsibilities of investigating both Archer's truck and the possible crime scene, told the Chinook Observer that Archer's case quickly went cold. Despite investigators following up with the few leads they had available and conducting interviews, few clues developed to help paint a picture of what could have happened to Archer Johnson. On April 11th, 10 days after Archer's disappearance, Earl and Rosa approached investigators and asked if they could redo their statements about the night in question. They explained that they feared for their safety and explained that Archer may have been taken by someone in a case of mistaken identity and that the person was really after someone else. When they were asked to further elaborate on this theory, they both denied to. So definitely some weird stuff going on in this case already. The brother and his wife approaching the investigators and asking if they could redo their statements, bringing up this weird thing of maybe they thought he was someone else and they took him instead because it was a case of mistaken identity, but then not really going further into that definitely, you know, raises a little bit of something's weird here, tingles for me. It's just a bit of an odd situation. They once again recapped how that day had gone to investigators. And this time, investigators had some follow-up questions for them. The investigators asked them about some tire tracks they had found, which matched Archer's truck, which had been found nearby to the place where he vanished. Earl explained that he wasn't the one who drove the truck there, but Archer may have, and Archer had told him that he planned to go look for more firewood around that location. Earl, however, denies that he ever made any statement of this sort to the investigators. Archer Johnson's daughter, Nikki Johnson, and his granddaughter, Taylor Johnson, have worked tirelessly to spread the word of Archer's strange disappearance in hopes that one day they will have answers and his remains will be returned to his family. Nikki Johnson was quoted in the Chinook Observer saying, "I'm just really frustrated because it seems like nobody cares. Even when the sheriff's office gets new information, it's almost like, do they even know somebody is still missing out there? When someone called with new information, the sheriff wasn't even aware of the case. We are in a small town, and there's not a ton of missing people here. So wouldn't that be a big deal? Why are they being so weird about it? Or is it just nobody cares? I do. He's my dad." And that is just heartbreaking. And that is just so wrong. And honestly, really upsetting. Nikki and Taylor Johnson have both submitted public records requests for information on Archer's case, but both have been repeatedly denied. The state cites RCW 4256240 that categorically exempts any and all records pertaining to an open and active investigation. Nikki and Taylor Johnson have both pushed back against this, asking for clarification on how a now 37-year-old cold case falls into this category. After 3 decades of trying, they've never received an answer to their questions. The Chinook Observer, along with Nikki and Taylor, attempted to make contact with Sheriff Rick Scott in 2020, but ended up in a game of phone tag with the sheriff that lasted over 3 months. They claim their phone calls are ignored or irregularly responded to. Nikki and Taylor Johnson actually unearthed some clues into Archer's disappearance on their own while going through a family scrapbook that included pieces of information about Archer's bizarre disappearance. What they found included some detective's notes that had been written for the family, and what they found in them was shocking. While they discovered a possible clue, they were also about to uncover dozens of more unanswered questions about their father and grandfather's disappearance. In the detective's notes, a witness identified as Jameson had told the investigators that he'd seen Earl on Brooklyn Road in between 1 and 2 p.m. on the day Archer vanished. He was on the west side of Oakville Hill, and he spotted Earl in his car before later noticing Archer's abandoned truck further down the road. This statement from the Jameson witness contradicts what Earl told the investigators, which was that he and Rosa had traveled back down the road at a later time that day. The witness explained to investigators that when he traveled back down that road later on in the day, between 5 and 6 p.m., he hadn't seen any trace of Archer's truck where it had been previously abandoned. Nikki Johnson created a Facebook page for Archer's disappearance with the help of her daughter. After the page was set up, they got a message from a woman identified as Charlie. In Charlie's message, she wrote that she'd learned of Archer's disappearance from her own father and grandfather when she was just a kid. Nikki spoke further with Charlie, and Charlie told her a rumor that she had heard that three men had been drinking at the Brooklyn Tavern when they spotted Archer drive by in his truck. The men left the bar and followed Archer until he pulled off the road to go take a pee. She claimed that when Archer got out of his truck, the group of men ran him over and then disposed of his body down a well. Detective Lane Newmans is unsure of the validity of these claims and told the Chinook Observer that, "If Archer had gotten out of his truck to relieve himself and was run over, I would have seen evidence of that." And while the Chinook Observer was completing their own series of interviews with Nikki and Taylor Johnson, a local resident overheard them talking and offered up the information that they had heard about Archer's disappearance. The local story was very similar to Charlie's, and they claimed that they had heard that Archer was murdered and his body was placed into a well. They did not know the possible location of the well where the body was disposed of. Another theory that has passed through Oakville and the tiny towns surrounding it is that Archer was stumped. Stumping is a pretty popular term in the logging community, as it turns out, but maybe you're like me, who had never heard of this until my time spent researching for this episode. Just a warning, because we are getting into some real nature-based nightmare fuel territory here. Stumping is a phenomenon where the root ball of a fallen tree ends up entombing a body. The tree is supposedly cut close to the roots, which causes the root ball of the tree to fall back into place, hiding a body away, never to be found. While this theory is just the result of a local rumor mill, some people do believe that it has some validity to it. By some accounts, Archer did have some people around Oakville and the surrounding areas who didn't like him. Detective Newman said of this, "Even though there was word that some people didn't care for Archer and Earl, I don't recall the other detectives finding anyone who ever wanted to do them harm." Humans also mentioned that now retired detective Bill Stocks did find two wells in the area, but no trace of Archer was found in either of those locations. Humans' theory on the case centers around Archer's truck door being left open. They believe he either willingly got out of his truck to talk to someone and then was kidnapped or forced to leave his truck behind. Humans said, "If, say, it was a chance encounter, and the person asked Archer to jump in to give him a hand with something, Archer would have shut his door and probably taken the keys, at least moved his truck further off the roadway." Another theory that investigators have explored is the theory that Archer left his life willingly and staged his disappearance. Detective Humans believes that this is an unlikely scenario, but should be looked into as a possibility. Could Archer have possibly wanted to flee his life with his new wife and newborn baby? About this, Detective Newman told the Chinook Observer, "If Archer wanted to disappear, he did a good job. I don't believe he did, but despite my personal feelings, I don't want to exclude the possibility that he wanted to disappear, as unlikely as that might sound to the family." The family of Archer Johnson told the Chinook Observer that while they don't hold out much hope for justice ever being served to the person or people responsible for Archer's disappearance, they do hold out hope that one day his remains will be discovered so they can finally bring him home and have a proper goodbye for him. Nikki said, "At this point, all we want is to have his remains. It's been 34 years of not knowing what happened to my dad, and I just want closure. I want to know he was found. I want to finally bring him home and all of us get the closure we deserve after all this time." Retired Detective Smith, who originally worked on the case and retired in 2003, said, I only wish we could have found out what really happened to him, because I know how hard it must be for the family members, never knowing what happened. I want the family to know we haven't forgotten this. All we can do is pass it on to the people that replace us, and maybe new forensic evidence can solve it someday. Despite the statements provided from witnesses that contradict their accounts of what happened, neither Earl nor Rosa are considered suspects in Archer Johnson's disappearance. Anyone with information regarding Archer's disappearance can call the Grays Harbor Sheriff's Office at 360-249-3711. The family also have a Facebook page and an Instagram page set up with more information, and I'm sure that they would gladly accept any information that you think is related to Archer's unsolved disappearance. Archer Ray Johnson would be 79 years old at the time of this recording. He was a white male with brown hair and brown eyes. He was 5'9 and weighed around 175 pounds. At the time of his disappearance, he was wearing a Black Hills gold ring. Archer Johnson also had a mole on his right cheek and a large surgical scar on his left arm. Thank you for listening to another episode of Olympia Oddities. I'm Trista. You can follow my personal Instagram at SaloonGhost. If you want to help support the podcast, you can follow our Facebook group, our Instagram page, both at Olympia Oddities Podcast. Tell a friend about me. Leave me a 5-star review. Share those episodes to your Instagram story. Go out into a field and yell about my show. Everything helps. Love you guys, and I can't wait to see what this year has in store for all of us. And until next time, friends.